from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday, a buttery little Friday. It's nice out there. It's me, Rob.
Getting ready for the holiday. Most people are taking a holiday week. No work is being done over the next 7 days.
No, not a lot of commerce happening out there.
There was no one in our office yesterday. Well, there was like three people. Today, there is literally not a single person left. And that was at 3 o'clock when we started.
You know, it was a good day to break your phone.
That is. Yeah, that is true. Although breaking your phone, I'm telling you, this whole thing is just a giant pain in the ass. It makes me just want to go no phone.
Well, then why is it a pain in the ass? It's great, probably.
It's not, because it's annoying, because everything is set up through your phone. Literally everything.
But if you want to go no phone...
I know.
Then
You just want to, like, go off the reservation.
Oh, does this affect your new whole keyless life problem?
Yes.
Because, like, your car and your house, right?
Everything is on an app now. I couldn't get into the building today. I don't have a key to the office. It's all on my phone. Like, I don't have a bank login other than the one that's on my phone. Everything is on my phone password. So now I'm like, I went in today because like my credit card bill is due this weekend. And then I like went on to log on to my bank. I'm like, I have not logged in to my bank account. I don't think everything is just thumbprint. It's a whole thing. It's not good.
You know, you should really be more on top of this stuff.
Well, I should probably not drop my phone onto a rock. That too.
But those things do happen.
Those things do happen, yes. Yes.
And when they do, you got to be prepared, like a Boy Scout. They teach you in Scouts.
I was not prepared. I also, like, every 2 seconds you drive by a place that says 30-minute phone repair, that's a lie. That's an outright lie. You go in and you're like, hey, can you fix this phone to do one of these? Well, don't have that. I can order you one of those. It'll... be here in 16 days, going to cost you $9 million. You're like, what? I said 30-minute phone repair. Nah, we don't stock those screens much anymore. So, and then there's like layers to it. Like, I don't know what, you know, apparently like there's not just like one like layer of glass. It's a whole thing. It's
first world problems, man.
It is. It's a first world problem. It's a pain in the ass. So.
Joey Harrington coming up at 5:30. We'll talk to him about how Battle at Bandon went, and we'll talk a little uniforms. Coming up tonight in the club, we do have rules for flying this summer put out by the Washington Post. I thought these were pretty good, and there are a lot of them since we're all traveling, as you just mentioned.
Is it that hard to not get kicked off an airplane?
Oh, kicked off? Well, this is more about like etiquette and things. Like, none of this is going to get you kicked off. Yeah. It's just...
I feel like more and more we're getting a bunch of jack wagons on airplanes, and I don't think I've ever had a situation on an airplane. It's just not that hard. It's like not getting arrested. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah, and then next segment...
Doing great.
Next seggy.
You're already in the pool right now, aren't you, mentally?
God, yes. It's like 110 degrees there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's hot.
Does that affect the pool time for you?
No, but one year... So we go this time of year every year.
Yeah.
One year I was there, it was 120.
Seems like a lot.
And it did... Like that... Like, there's actually a big difference between 110 and 120.
Well, so, yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, 10 degrees.
Well, yeah, but I just mean, like, the feel of it.
Sure.
Like, you just might think that that's all just super hot.
After a certain point, it doesn't matter.
But when you're at the pool,
it's dry heat.
We went inside at 120. Yeah. We were like, eh.
It's too much.
And we were in the pool.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Well, I mean, you need, like, an umbrella at that point. You need... It's
well, they have those.
Have you ever been there when there was a haboob? Do you know about haboobs?
No.
They're they're dust storms that happen through the desert, and they whip through and they bring like tons of sand, and they like black out the sun, or they make it seem like you're almost in a fog. My buddy was there in the summer. It was like June or July, and they had to clear the pool because a big haboob was coming through.
Oh, the old haboob.
I've never seen a haboob.
No.
I've seen many boobs.
Yeah.
In but Vegas. Not a haboob.
That's one of the great parts about the Wynn and the Encore is the adult pool. Now, will you be going to the adult pool with your son?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
That's the only place to go. I don't want to be around kids.
Yeah, but he will be there as well. Is there awkwardness there as you both admire the random up tops?
I don't care.
You've moved past that.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's the best pool.
All right. Well, clearly it is. I just didn't know if there was...
What do you think? I'm going to go sit with kids? Like little kids?
I'm just saying.
Get out of here.
Some people might find
that
awkward.
Kidding me?
You know?
Not this guy.
All right. You're right. Okay, son.
Hell, I might take mine out.
Hey, son, check that out. Well, his lady's going with him too, right?
Yeah, she'll be there.
See, that's awkward.
Yeah.
If she pops the top, you can't be there.
Yeah, she's not popping the top. Yeah. Come on. And if she does,
that's what
I haven't
I'm saying.
Even thought about that.
That's what I'm saying. You need to think about it. What if you're sitting at the pool with your son and his beautiful, beautiful gal.
I think I got to play it cool.
And she just goes, hey, when in Rome, we're at the European pool, they come. What do you do, cool guy?
Or are you concerned with her seeing you peeping other up tops?
Well, you won't catch me peeping up tops.
You might.
Sunglasses.
Nah, you ain't catching me, dude. I'm a veteran.
Well, I'm just
saying.
And
by the way.
That could be a very awkward situation for everybody.
Oftentimes, they're not peep worthy. It's like, you know. I mean, you see him.
Sure.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Look, everybody at the nudie pool takes note of who's nude.
Yes.
And, of course, the women that are walking around without their tops, they want you to look at them.
Yes.
So it's a whole unwritten policy of,
it
like,
is, yeah.
check them out and then go about your day.
But if there is,
day.
But I think it's uncomfortable when you get to a certain point and there's you know, and there's significant others there. You know, that could be, it could be a little weird.
Nah.
I don't know. Now you're thinking about it.
I'll just have another
Yeah, the
drink.
Wheels are turning. You can tell.
Yeah, I am thinking about it.
What do I do?
Wheels are turning.
Maybe I get up and go play craps.
Something. Because you know, Nurse Nice would immediately elbow poke you and be like, what are we doing?
Do they do topless blackjack poolside? Is that a thing?
Topless?
Well, there are blackjack tables with bikini dealers.
Yeah.
Not at
the adult pools, would there ever be like a...
Not at the Wynn. It's very high
class. Not the Wynn. I'm just saying.
I will say that when the last time I was there, they did bring out a craps table to the pool.
Where?
At the Wynn.
Okay.
They brought out, and that's when I saw Greg Oden.
Well, they already have a craps table out there.
That's what I'm saying. There was a craps table out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's there all the time.
It is there all the
time. Okay. Yeah. So we were there. We were at the Wynn the last time we were there, because I'm not usually a Wynn guy, but we stayed there the last time we were there, and Greg Oden was there.
Okay.
And some other NBA guys. And it is a topless pool. So to Buck's question, can you play topless craps?
I mean, you should.
I've never seen that.
Uh-huh. It's a topless pool.
I think they
pool.
Might make you put on a top.
Really? So the win is a bunch of prudes.
Well, I mean, maybe they won't. I don't know. I can ask my guy.
I think this is an interesting question.
Yeah, it is. I've never seen that.
I didn't see anyone topless playing craps.
I've played topless craps.
Yes. Well, seems a little sexist if the ladies can't play topless craps.
Maybe they can.
I'm for equality.
I don't know. We have a segment about tall people coming up next, and then Joey. But right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com. Number five.
Let's see here. Here's a little something.
A little something, something.
You won't see this again.
Maybe we will.
Frank Benzel Jr. has made the news.
Should I know who Frank Benzel?
And he's not a junior because he's on the senior tour.
Right. He hit back-to-back holes in one.
Oh, right.
At the U.S. Senior Open. The odds of that, they say, are 67 million to one. They are at Newport Country Club in Rhode Island. He followed those two holes in ones. By the way, you're never going to see that because you don't have courses that have back-to-back par threes. This one does. And he aced them both. Back-to-back.
Have we ever seen it?
It's never happened. No. No, especially not in competition. They said it's the first in a tour-sanctioned event. It's the first in a USGA event. And he followed it up with four straight bogeys, and he shot a 75. He is tied for 130th.
Yes, but two aces.
But he got two aces.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever played a place that had two back-to-back.
Well, Pacific Dunes has back-to-back par threes.
Back-to-back par threes?
Yeah, 9 and 10, I think.
I don't remember. All right, well, then I have, because I've played Pacific Dunes. I stand corrected.
First place Phillies lose two stars to the IL. Bryce Harper has a hamstring strain. Kyle Schwarber a groin strain. Although they are saying both could be back in the minimum 10 days.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like either one of these are a major deal.
Let's see, staying in the NL East, the top prospect in all of baseball is outfielder James Wood. He is being called up by the Nationals. He will be with them on Monday.
That's always fun to see. We got a lot of young talent coming up in these last couple of years.
Baltimore called up Jackson Holliday, and he sucked.
Yeah, he's terrible.
And now they're saying he might even be traded.
But we've seen this. Like, Mike Trout wasn't very good when he got brought up and get sent back down. But, you know, a lot of these guys come up. Look at Paul Skeens. He's dynamite right now. Are they saying that Holliday might get dealt?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
That was the rumor. Well, they have so many players.
I know.
So many good players.
First base now, tied with the Yankees.
Oregon's Jermaine Cousinard went undrafted, but today he signs a free agent deal with the Pelicans.
And Infali Dante, I think, signed a free agent deal with the Rockets.
I believe that's correct.
In other Duck news?
Yes. Ducks land another big commit. Dan Lanning talking with his helmet.
Cover your helmet!
Five-star running back by the name of...
Jordan Davidson. Spelled like our own Jordan Schultz.
Jordan
Schultz.
Yeah, I guess he's really good.
Yeah, was it...
Best running back west of the Mississippi and supposedly the highest-rated Oregon running back in the last decade.
Mater D.
Modern day.
Just see that USC had another top recruit yesterday.
Decommit?
Four-star safety, top five safety in the country, decommitted.
What's
from
going
USC.
On down there?
I don't know, man, but they are... leaving that program in bunches.
What's going on down there, man?
I don't know. They're all coming to Oregon, and they want nothing to do with USC.
Number two.
Things are getting dicey in the AL West as we approach the All-Star break. The Mariners' lead on the Astros is now only 4.5 games. Seattle going with Logan Gilbert tonight against the surging Minnesota Twins. Houston is in New York taking on the Mets. Both of those teams are red hot.
Yeah, well, the Mets have won 8 of their last 10, and I think the Astros have won 7 or 8 in a row.
Yes, and right now, Houston has a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the third.
Yeah. Minnesota, I think, has already taken a series from Seattle this year. So it's a tough – you see there this 9-game stretch for Seattle?
No, they've got – I think they've got the Twins and maybe the Orioles.
Pull it up. They've got
Baltimore.
It's a 9-game stretch here. I'm going to pull it up. I just saw it the other day. It was a little like, ooh. It's a little spicy here considering they're not playing very well. In
Minnesota, Baltimore, Toronto, yeah. San Diego.
Yeah. Look at you.
Should be able to navigate that.
Yeah, the Twinkies and O's. You're like, eh, no big deal.
It's come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shut it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number
and number one, we had a couple of trades in the NBA today. DeJounte Murray is on the move again. The Spurs have traded him to the Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, and 2 first-round draft picks.
The Hawks.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah. He used to be with the Spurs. The Hawks.
Went to Atlanta.
Apologies.
And then Atlanta's going through a whole thing right now. There was talk of, was it Murray? Was it Trae Young? Is Trae Young still on the way out? And they had the number one pick. They went with the other French kid, not Sar. They went with the Richoche.
Mavs have traded Tim Hardaway Jr. He goes to the Pistons, along with 3 second-round picks in exchange for shooting guard Quentin Grimes, Rock Chalk.
Yeah, they were just looking to cut some salary there because they're trying to re-sign some bros.
Well, they also know they're going to have to pay Luka, and they can't afford to have someone like Hardaway around who's been around a few years.
Yeah, Hardaway, the odd man out there. And Grimes only due $4.3 million next season. So
This is about tightening the old belt strings a little bit.
There's your Hot 5 and 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Let's talk tall people next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine, get on up.
With Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Get up, get on up.
All right, let's talk about tall people, and then we're going to have Joey Harrington on our show. He is back from Battle at Bandon. I've got 2 bits of tall people news.
Okay.
The first one is one we have yet to cover this week, although it was mentioned earlier on the program. There is a dude by the name of Olivier Roux.
Okay.
R-I-O-U-X.
Olivier?
Olivier Roux.
Is this the Florida kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is the world's tallest teenager. Mm-hmm. He is 7'9".
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Boy's ass!
7'9".
Yes.
And he is set to become the tallest college basketball player ever because he has committed to Florida.
Yeah, I think he was, I think he said IMG, if I'm not mistaken, down there at that little factory.
He's a native of Montreal. Yeah. He is 18.
I believe it's Montreal. Thank you.
7'9".
And weighs like 7 pounds. Although watching him move, like,
He's not as bad as you would think.
Yeah, because I've seen some other ones where they have people that are like 7'7", and like a lot of times you're that tall, you have like a serious disorder, and you know they move really, really poorly. I mean, he looks awkward because he's 7'9", but it's better than you would think for being that tall.
Yeah, he said, "We're still not 100% sure why I'm so tall. After investigation, doctors could only explain it with the genetics that my family has. My father is 6'8", my mom is 6'2", my brother is 6'9", so we're a pretty tall family."
Can you imagine you're 6'9", and your brother's a foot taller than you?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just like tussles your hair.
Look at some of the pictures of this guy.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Olivier Roux.
You want to talk about, and I, you know, maybe he goes on and plays in the NBA. You want to talk about something that I would not trade, the NBA for being 7'9". Thanks, but no thanks. Can you imagine how hard life is for that kid?
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
I imagine he dies young.
Probably. Because like I said, most of the time when you get that tall, you have a full-on like disorder. Like I forget the name of the disease, but it's like the Andre the Giant thing. Like your body doesn't stop growing. Like it's legitimately an issue.
But I think it's going to be awesome watching him play college basketball.
I wonder if he actually plays. Like,
I doubt it. At least early.
Well, what was Taco Fall? Was Taco Fall like
7'3"?
Oh, he was taller than that.
Was he?
I think Taco might have been like 7'5", 7'6".
7'6", yeah.
So
and he had his moment.
He had his moment in college, you know, and in G League and, you know.
Yeah, but didn't they almost beat Duke in the NCAA tournament?
I think they had a little bit of a tournament run. It was at Central Florida.
Yeah.
A little bit of a run. You know, but like I said, he was athletic for that size, but it's hard. It's hard to move when you're that tall. And you got to believe that kid is just a walking joint injury waiting to happen. Just the levers and the leverage that you have to have on your body when you're that tall.
You think he's going to get a lot of ladies down there at Florida?
I don't know how that works.
Being 7'9", or is that a little...
I don't know. Like, I mean, you're a basketball player, so that certainly helps. And is there a, I don't know, it's like...
Curiosity.
He's not a good looking guy.
Spit on that thing.
I don't know.
He's not a bad looking guy.
No,
either.
He's not. He's just, you know.
He's just 7'9".
He's just 7'9".
He's awkward.
I wonder if there's a, you know, you're 7'9" basketball player. I wonder if there's a sense of curiosity there. I bet she does okay.
What do you think his NIL is going to be?
I have no idea. Because I saw that he was going to Florida, but he's not like a big time recruit, is he?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think Florida's just kind of taking a flyer on him. I'm going to get something. Every D1 athlete now is getting something. I mean, they're peeling off 22 mil, right, for the salary cap. Kid's going to get a little something.
They say he weighs 290.
That kid weighs 290 pounds?
That's what he's listed at.
Wow.
He doesn't look it.
You know, well, I mean, you're 7'9", you're carrying a lot of... Well, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of times you see guys like Chet and you know, these dudes that are super tall. They're heavier than you think. You know,
yeah, because they're just so tall.
They're just so tall.
In other tall news, have you seen this girl in China?
Yes, the one that the WNBA prospect.
Well, I don't know if she's a WNBA prospect. She's only 17.
Yeah.
But she's unstoppable.
She looks more freakish than the 7'9 kid.
Well, she looks like, I mean, she basically looks like a female Yao Ming.
Yes. And she is not real thin. She's
7'3".
Lady's built.
And she's 17 years old.
Yeah.
She plays, they're at the under 18 Women's Asia Cup.
Yeah.
So she's on their under 18 team.
Yeah.
China. And she's played 62 minutes and she has scored 99 points.
You can't stop her.
Making 91% of her field goals.
Have you seen any of the little clips of her?
Yes, it's hilarious.
Dude, they just dump it into her and it's like, what was the Adam Sandler, Billy Madison? It's like Billy Madison on the plane. parade ground.
It's like inbounding to Dwight Howard around like 3 fourth graders.
Yes.
It's just, it's so like, she just stands there and puts her hands up. But that's like, it's crazy.
And I kind of want to see like if that translate, or is just, she's playing in the Asia Cup, or is every girl she's playing against, like she's just playing against a bunch of tiny Asian ladies. It's hard to tell because I've only seen a couple of like the little clips, but it's comical. And she is not built like...
She's big.
She's big. She's 7 foot, and like you said, she's thick. That's a thick gal.
And she moves pretty well, too.
I know. That's why I said, when I saw the two, she looked like the bigger freak than the 7 foot nine kid.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. And I'm all here. I'm all about it. I would pay. I would pay to watch this gal come in and dominate.
Who is the tallest player in the WNBA? Like, how tall do they run in that league?
Well,
anybody know?
They've had a couple gals, I think, that have been 7 feet. I know Brittany Griner is like 6'9", like 6'10". She's a big gal, but she's pretty thin.
The tallest ever is a woman named Margot Didak.
Yeah, she's that big blonde.
7'2"?
Yeah.
Blonde?
Yeah. 7'2", okay. Yeah.
And I remember...
Polish.
You what?
She was Polish.
She's not in the league anymore, right?
I don't believe so. No, yeah. She's 37 now.
Yeah, I remember her. She was the big blonde gal.
Oh, she passed away.
Oh, she passed away.
Ooh. Yeah, this was 13 years ago.
Oh gosh.
So maybe you're thinking of somebody else.
No, I remember her. She died 13 years ago.
She died in 2011.
Oh my God. Has it been that long since I paid attention to the WNBA?
Possibly.
I remember when the WNBA first started, I remember that the LA Sparks with like Lisa Leslie, they had an Asian girl on that team that was like 7 feet tall and 300 pounds and couldn't move. And she was my favorite WNBA player. She was awesome. She literally could not run, but they ran her out there and it was fantastic. She played for the LA Sparks.
The New York Liberty, it appears, have a woman named Han Shu who is 6'11".
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm seeing too. Cool. Yeah. Well,
7'3" coming to a WNBA team near you.
She's in China, so it's hard. Nobody really knows, like, if she's had a bunch of offers or anything. But it would be cool to see her come over here and play college ball.
Go to Iowa. Let's go.
Iowa. What if she comes to Oregon?
Oh, there you go.
Get her.
Yeah. Get her that NIL money.
Get her some nice unis.
Let's go. What was her name?
Her name is Zhang. Zhu? Z-H-A-N-G.
Yeah, I'm not going to try it.
Z-I-Y-U.
You're butchering it, and I'm going to let you butcher it. I'm not going to give it a whirl.
You don't think Zhang Zhu is right?
No, maybe. I'm not touching it.
She won't know. 7'3".
Look up the clips of her, though. It is hilarious to watch the girls try to defend her.
Now, real quick, we got to get Joey in here. Yeah. But what if Zhang goes to Florida and humps... Olivier.
Oh my gosh.
So you got 7'9", 7'3".
What is that kid?
What do you think? Will the kid be 12 feet
tall?
Should
they just get together and be like, hey, you want to go halvesies on a fetus? Like Adam Silver's there at the birth?
Yeah, it's like instant.
He's just waiting.
Would it be like... disappointing if their kid was like 6'8"?
Yes. Little bastard.
Kid comes out 6'4". What the runt. Hell? The hell, mom?
What if it comes out like a tiny little Asian?
Well.
Your son.
Well, it does turn out that tiny Korean jeans kick the living hell out of big Viking jeans. My kids are proof of that. Except she's got giant Chinese jeans.
Wow.
My son is an idiot.
All right, there's a segment on tall people. Joey Harrington will join us next, but first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Well, if you're a big Joey fan, you missed Joey last week because he was at the battle at Bandon, his battle at Bandon. And this week, he has returned. Hello.
It's like the prodigal son or something.
More importantly, did you return a champion?
He has returned.
Did you lose in humiliating defeat?
You know what? So I played about as well. So this is the first time I've played. I played 9 holes last weekend since surgery in October, right? I went out and I shot 75. Yeah. My first round back, could not have put, you know, I was rolling them in from everywhere, and we ran into an absolute sandbag and buzzsaw of Ryan Leaf.
He's a sandbagger?
My God. The guy said he's a 12.8, which he was at the time, but then had played a few rounds and got down to like an 11-something. And then I think he shot like 75, 78 on us, or not on me, you know, the whole weekend, but he had it rolling. Anyway, if it wasn't for Justin, we would have gotten steamrolled. And then the next day I played like dog stuff, and we scored a bunch of points against Steve Smith. So, you know how it is. Handicaps, they just kind of even out.
So who ended up winning the whole thing?
Yeah, who won?
Oh, Colorado.
Colorado?
The Buffs.
Who was their, yeah. Who were their guys?
Mason Crosby and John Embry.
Oh, okay. John Embry, yeah. The old coach?
Yeah. The old coach, yeah.
What's he doing now?
He's coaching tight ends in the NFL.
Oh, cool.
And you can never
– yeah.
Kickers, again.
You think
kickers are always good. I always give quarterbacks a hard time because they don't have anything to do but play golf. But kickers, never, ever bet with a kicker on a golf course. That dude will kill you.
Okay, so Jason Hansen was our kicker in Detroit.
Yeah, former Coug.
He actually played Battle Band in 1 year. I would say turf management, greenskeeper, super at the Detroit football facility, wanted to try his hand at golf maintenance. And so he actually put in a putting green and a tee box behind the equipment shed out on our practice field. So we'd be out there like deep into two-a-days, like, you know, and look, I'm gonna be the first one to say that quarterbacks aren't exactly working their tail off, but yeah. Like compared to DBs and wide receivers, and you know, they're just sweating bullets during the heat of the summer. And I look back, and Hansen's out there with his wedges, like hitting 60-yard wedge shots behind the shed during August double. I was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like. That's the life of a kicker right there.
Is Crosby still kicking?
I think this was his first year out. Okay. Yep, he did not play this year, I don't believe. So, yeah, we talked to him. I think he's probably going to hang him up, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
How'd Justin Herbert play? What's his golf game like?
Justin hits it a mile. Just not quite sure, you know, which direction that mile's going to go.
Oh, dear.
You know? But when he connects on it, holy good God. Yeah. I think we had him down as like a 7 handicap. So he's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player. Probably scored more points for us. Like he was in like that perfect sweet spot for these kind of tournaments where you can have a blow up hole or two, you know, it doesn't really matter, but then you get a, you know, throw a birdie in there, a couple pars with a stroke. And all of a sudden you walk out of there with 6 points on 9 holes. So he had some broad shoulders this weekend. He carried the team.
Did he give you any scoop on Jim Harbaugh and the new era of Chargers football?
Jim Harbaugh told him to check it down every time. He said they had a conversation. He's like, yeah, Jim, you know, we were talking, and he says, yeah, Justin, how would you feel about every single time you drop back to pass, what if you just checked it down? And Justin's like, well, you know, it's probably not ideal, but that's something that I'll take into consideration. Thanks, coach. Okay, good talk.
Well, we were talking about this the other day that, you know, there's a lot of young quarterbacks that, you know, the recipe for success is under center, right? Run the ball, play action pass, get it out of your hands, 3-step drops. And yet you've got, like in LA, you got a Ferrari back there. And you got an old man driving him that may keep him in second gear. It is going to be interesting to see how this works.
It is. I mean, the thing that I think people forget about Justin, though, is, you know, yes, he is Dan Marino type arm, right? He's Marino size. I mean, he's walking down the fairway, and me and Danny Farmer were looking back. It was like, this dude is huge. Like, he might be 6'6". He's a full 6'6". Like, this is – and so he's got a cannon for an arm. But remember those years, you know, under Mario where it was just like, check down, yep. Check down. He ran for 3 touchdowns in the Rose Bowl, right? Using his leg.
For like 98.
I looked at it the other day. I think it was 18 for 30 for like 120 yards, but he ran for 3 touchdowns. Like this guy, we've seen him cut it loose in the NFL, but he has shown us that he can play so many different styles of football And he's malleable. He just adapts. So, yeah, I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of second gear driving with the Ferrari. But, you know, Jim may throw it into third every once in a while.
Well, I mean, that's interesting you say that, because that could be a problem with some quarterbacks, right? I mean, if he gets Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray's not going to be, you know, if Harbaugh gets Kyler, you know, like I'm trying to think of guys that'd be like, yeah, no, I don't know about this coach. Maybe we should talk this over. But Herbert's, like I say, he's a coachable player, team guy. He'll do what the coach wants. But
yeah, that's an interesting thought, Coach. I'll take that in consideration. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
But he is one of those guys now. When you I still think about him. We covered him at Oregon, and even as a rookie in the NFL. But every time I see him in the off season, like it just goes to show you, when you go into the NFL and you're 21, 22 years old, you're not quite a grown man, and that's what people don't get about the NFL. Like, when you're 21, 22, you think you're grown. You're not. When you get to be 25, 26, 27, and then into, like, the early 30s, dude, you get, like, that grown man body, and Justin Herbert has grown into his. He looks like a completely different person now than when he first came into the league. That dude is built.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if he put on another 10 pounds. I mean, the guy is... There's a reason he is where he is, and there's a reason he has landed himself a second contract. So there you go.
Who has the best arm, quarterback? Who has the best arm you've ever seen?
Mike Vick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard
without that. Hesitation. Second, close second would be Byron Leftwich. Byron threw it from his freaking knees. Like, he would drop that ball all the way. It was like... It was like Randy Johnson, you know, a lot, you know, how you talk about, if people are talking about quarterback mechanics, you know, balls out by your ear, you know, quick release. Byron would go full on like baseball 360, like drop it down and just chuck the thing. I stopped playing catch with him in warm-ups because it hurt so much. But Vic, I'm not kidding. Like, it was effortless. It was literally, it looked like he would flick it, right? He'd just kind of have this little, like a little snap at the end of the release, and the thing would just jump. And it was nothing for him to drop it out there 60, 65 yards. And, you know, when he cranked into one, he could put it out there over 70. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. It was always a spiral.
When you're around those guys, it's just... It's different. When I got to Denver, Elway had retired the year or two previous, but he would still mill around. And he came out to training camp. We were in Greeley, and that's when we had Brian Greasy, Steve Berline. Elway was friends with Berline. And so Elway would hang around, and he would dink around during warmups. And Elway had to be 40 at the time, right? Late 30s, maybe 40 years old. Oh, my God. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, he put every one of those guys to shame, and he used to laugh because it would be like a joke. They would go get like a rookie, like receiver or whatever, like, you know, undrafted free agent. And they're like, hey, come catch some passes some Elway. And some kid would be all fired up about it. And then John would throw about two or three normal, and then he'd step into one. And you felt bad for the kid. Like, yeah, some of the people would refuse to play catch with him. You break hands.
You know about the Elway cross, right?
Is that the from the tip of the football?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Guys at the first part of his career would, you know, finish practice with all of these like X's on the palms of their hands. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And it's because they would catch the tip of the ball and it was coming so hard that it would literally leave an imprint where the seam, where all the four panels of the leather ball came together, and they started calling it the Elway cross. Like, he would absolutely laser those things.
Yeah, you don't appreciate how much a ball can sting until someone like that. And I never caught anything from that. We had, in Tampa, Chris Sims had a pretty big arm, and he wasn't a great quarterback or whatever, but he could hum it, and he was the guy that I would snap to. And so every now and then Chris would be a jerk and he'd be like, "Sook," and you would turn, and then the ball was on its way, and I learned to just duck, and he would call me a P word or whatever. I wouldn't put my hands up. That was the first time I can ever remember catching a ball and being like, I'm never doing that again. It feels like it's going to take the skin off. So I used to just duck out of the way, and he would mock me. And that's Chris Sims. I don't know what it would be like with a Michael Vick type, but it's those guys are different.
They should go to Nerf balls.
Well, the funny thing is, like, all the guys, I mean, with the exception of Elway, obviously, who's a Hall of Famer, and, I mean, Vic was on his way, but I also played with Drew Brees,
yeah,
right? And you could, yeah, you know, you could sit down and read a book in the time that Drew, you know, he threw the ball to you. You'd flip a chapter through, you know, whatever you were reading, and then the ball arrived. Yeah. But those guys, what's the phrase? Oh, he throws a very catchable ball.
Yeah.
Translation:
catchable.
Dude's got a noodle for an arm, but he can put it on a spot like Chad Pennington, yeah, right? You know, that was his deal. But I mean, look, it's not all about just how hard you can throw it. It's and you know this, it's the difference between a completion and a knockdown is literally about 6 inches. Well, right? So you can throw it as hard as you want, but if it's in the right spot, then it doesn't matter.
Do you buy into the notion? I've heard this, and again, I don't play the position, but I've heard this where they say that sometimes the physical freak never really learns to play quarterback because he doesn't have to. He just, yeah, he can just go out and sling it and he gets by, but then you reach a certain level and some of those guys do make it to the NFL, but they never really had to learn the craft the way Drew Brees was. And I've heard that some people think that having a truly special, like, generational arm talent can actually be a detriment to you.
Well, that was Mike's situation. He was so physically, I mean, when I got there, the guy didn't watch any film. And he's admitted this too. He's like, he'd go home and play Madden and, you know, and then things fell apart and, you know, ended up in prison. And when he came back, and ended up in Philly, like, he learned how to study. He learned how to get the best out of his ability, and I mean, was incredible those few years in Philadelphia at the end of his career. Yeah, there's for sure. I mean, the NFL is littered with guys who, I'm trying to think of the best word, like, who never had to truly work. Right. You know, everybody has to work to get to the NFL. But like your point, like, I'm trying to think of the best analogy.
It comes easy, you know, for him.
It did. Like Roy Williams, wide receiver with me, and, you know, he was at Texas. I mean, I have never seen anybody with better hands than him. I kid you not. I mean, you give me anybody in the history of the NFL, and I will say, yeah, but I'd probably take Roy Williams in a catching contest. In pure hands, in pure ball skills, in pure, like, it was absolutely ungodly what this guy could do to a football that was coming at him in the air. But he never really worked on speed, explosiveness, route running, in and out of his cuts, right? Because nobody ever forced him to. Nobody ever challenged him. Nobody ever said...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Well, if you're a big Joey fan, you missed Joey last week, because he was at the battle at Bandon, his battle at Bandon. And this week, he has returned. Hello.
It's like the prodigal son or something.
More importantly, did you return a champion?
He has returned.
Did you lose in humiliating defeat?
You know what? So I played about as well. So this was the first time I played. I played nine holes last weekend since surgery in October, right? I went out and I shot 75. Yeah. My first round back, could not have put, you know, I was rolling them in from everywhere, and we ran into an absolute sandbag and buzzsaw of Ryan Leaf. And if it,
he's,
oh,
a
my God, the guy said he's a 12.8, which he was at the time, but then had played a few rounds and got down to like an 11 something. And then I think he shot like 75, 78 on us, and or not on me, you know, the whole weekend, but he had it rolling anyway. If it wasn't for Justin, we would have gotten steamrolled. And then the next day I played like dog stuff, and we scored a bunch of points against Steve Smith. So, you know how it is. Handicaps, they just kind of even out.
So who ended up winning the whole thing?
Yeah, who won?
Colorado.
Colorado?
The Buffs.
Who was their, yeah, who were their guys?
Mason Crosby and John Embry.
Oh, okay. John Embry, yeah. The old coach?
Yeah. The old coach, yeah.
What's he
exactly
doing now?
He's coaching tight ends in the NFL.
Oh, cool.
And you can never,
yeah,
kickers again.
They're,
you think,
always,
you think,
good.
Kickers are always good. I always give quarterbacks a hard time because they don't have anything to do but play golf. But kickers, never, oh, ever, kicker, ever bet with a kicker on a golf course. That dude will kill you.
Okay, so Jason Hansen was our kicker in Detroit.
Yeah, former Coug.
He actually played Battle Bandon 1 year. Our, I would say, turf management greenskeeper, super at the Detroit football facility, wanted to try his hand at golf maintenance. And so he actually put in a putting green and a tee box behind the equipment shed out on our practice field. So we'd be out there like deep into two-a-days, like, you know, and look, I'm gonna be the first one to say that quarterbacks aren't exactly working their tail off, but yeah, like compared to DBs and wide receivers, and you know, they're just sweating bullets during the heat of the summer. And I look back, and Hansen's out there with his wedges, like hitting 60-yard wedge shots behind the shed during August double. I was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, that's the life of a kicker right there.
Is Crosby still kicking?
I think this was his first year out. Okay. Yep. He He did not play this year, I don't believe. So yeah, we talked to him. I think he's probably going to hang him up, but you know, we'll see how it goes.
How'd Justin Herbert play? What's his golf game like?
Justin hits it a mile. You know, just not quite sure, you know, which direction that mile's going to go.
Oh dear.
You know, but when he connects on it, holy good God. Yeah. I think we had him down as like a 7 handicap. So he's a good player. He's a good player. Probably scored more points for us. Like he was in like that perfect sweet spot for these kind of tournaments where you can have a blow up hole or two, you know, it doesn't really matter, but then you get throw a birdie in there, a couple pars with a stroke. And all of a sudden you walk out of there with 6 points on 9 holes. So he had some broad shoulders this weekend. He carried the team.
Did he give you any scoop on Jim Harbaugh and the new era of Chargers football?
Jim Harbaugh told him to check it down every time. He said they had a conversation. He's like, yeah, Jim, you know, we were talking and he says, yeah, Justin, how would you feel about every single time you drop back to pass? What if you just checked it down? And Justin's like, well, you know, it's probably not ideal, but that's something that I'll take into consideration. Thanks, coach. Okay, good. Good talk.
Well, we were talking about this the other day that, you know, there's a lot of young quarterbacks that, you know, the recipe for success is under center, right? Run the ball, play action pass, get it out of your hands, 3-step drops. And yet you've got, like in LA, you got a Ferrari back there. And you got an old man driving him that may keep him in second gear. It is going to be interesting to see how this works.
It is. I mean, the thing that I think people forget about Justin, though, is, you know, yes, he is Dan Marino type arm, right? He's Marino size. I mean, he's walking on the fairway, and me and Danny Farmer were looking back. It was like, this dude is huge. Like, he might be 6'6". He's a full 6'6". Like, this is – and so he's got a cannon for an arm. But remember those years, you know, under Mario where it was just like, check down, check down. He ran for 3 touchdowns in the Rose Bowl, right?
Using his leg. Like 98.
I looked at it the other day. I think it was 18 for 30 for like 120 yards, but he ran for 3 touchdowns. Like this guy, we've seen him cut it loose in the NFL, but he has shown us that he can play so many different styles of football. And he's malleable. He just adapts. So yeah, I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of second gear driving with the Ferrari, but you know, Jim may throw it into third every once in a while.
Well, I mean, that's interesting you say that because that could be a problem with some quarterbacks, right? I mean, if he gets Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray's not going to be, you know, if Harbaugh gets Kyler, you know, like I'm trying to think of guys that'd be like, yeah, no, I don't know about this coach. Maybe we should talk this over. But Herbert's, like you say, he's a coachable player, team guy. He'll do what the coach wants. But
yeah, that's an interesting thought, coach. I'll take that into consideration. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
But he is one of those guys now when you I still think about him. We covered him at Oregon and even as a rookie in the NFL. But every time I see him in the offseason, like it just goes to show you when you go into the NFL and you're 21, 22 years old, you're not quite a grown man, and that's what people don't get about the NFL. Like, when you're 21, 22, you think you're grown. You're not. When you get to be 25, 26, 27, and then into, like, the early 30s, dude, you get, like, that grown man body, and Justin Herbert has grown into his. He looks like a completely different person now than when he first came into the league. That dude is built.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if he put on another 10 pounds. I mean, the guy is... There's a reason he is where he is, and there's a reason he has landed himself a second contract. So there you go.
Who has the best arm, quarterback? Who has the best arm you've ever seen?
Mike Vick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard
without that. Hesitation. Close second would be Byron Leftwich. Okay. Byron threw it from his freaking knees. Like he would drop that ball all the way. It was like Randy Johnson, you know, a lot, you know, how you talk about, if people are talking about quarterback mechanics, you know, balls out by your ear, you know, quick release. Byron would go full on like baseball 360, like drop it down and just chuck the thing. I stopped playing catch with him in warm-ups because it hurt so much, but Vic, I'm not kidding. Like it was effortless. It was literally, it looked like he would flick it, right? He'd just kind of have this little, like a little snap at the end of the release, and the thing would just jump. And it was nothing for him to drop it out there 60, 65 yards. And, you know, when he cranked into one, he could put it out there over 70. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. It was always a spiral.
When you're around those guys, it's different. When I got to Denver, Elway had retired the year or two previous, but he would still mill around. And he came out to training camp. We were in Greeley, and that's when we had Brian Greasy, Steve Berline. Elway was friends with Berline. And so yeah. Elway would hang around, and he would dink around during warm-ups. And and Elway had to be 40 at the time, right? Late 30s, maybe 40 years old. Oh, my God. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, he put every one of those guys to shame, and he used to laugh because it would be like a joke. They would go get like a rookie, like receiver or whatever, like, you know, undrafted free agent. And they're like, hey, come catch some passes from Elway. And some kid would be all fired up about it. And then John would throw about two or three normal, and then he'd step into one. And you felt bad for the kid. Like, yeah, some of the people would refuse to play catch with him. You break hands.
You know about the Elway cross, right?
Is that from the tip of the football?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Guys at the first part of his career would, you know, finish practice with all of these like X's on the palms of their hands. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And it's because they would catch the tip of the ball and it was coming so hard that it would literally leave an imprint where the seam, where all the four panels of the leather ball came together, and they started calling it the Elway cross. Like, he would absolutely laser those things.
Yeah, you don't appreciate how much a ball can sting until someone like that. And I never caught anything from that. We had, in Tampa, Chris Sims had a pretty big arm, and he wasn't a great quarterback or whatever, but he could hum it. And he was the guy that I would snap to. And so every now and then Chris would be a jerk and he'd be like, "Sook," and you would turn, and then the ball was on its way. And I learned to just duck, and he would call me a P word or whatever. I wouldn't put my hands up. That was the first time I can ever remember catching a ball and being like, I'm never doing that again. It feels like it's going to take the skin off. So I used to just duck out of the way, and he would mock me. And that's Chris Sims. I don't know what it would be like with a Michael Vick type, but it's those guys are different.
They should go to Nerf balls.
Well, the funny thing is, like, all the guys, I mean, with the exception of Elway, obviously, he was a Hall of Famer, and I mean, Vic was on his way, but I also played with Drew Brees, right? And you could, you know, you could sit down and read a book in the time that Drew, you know, he threw the ball to you. You'd flip a chapter through, you know, whatever you were reading, and then the ball arrived. But those guys, what's the phrase? I mean, throws a very catchable ball. Yeah. Translation:
catchable.
Dude's got he's got a noodle for an arm, but he can put it on a spot like Chad Pennington, right? You know, that was his deal. But I mean, look, it's not all about just how hard you can throw it. It's and you know this. It's the difference between a completion and a knockdown is literally about 6 inches. So you can throw it as hard as you want, but if it's in the right spot, then it doesn't matter.
Do you buy into the notion? I've heard this, and again, I don't play the position, but I've heard this where they say that sometimes the physical freak never really learns to play quarterback because he doesn't have to. He can just go out and sling it, and he gets by, but then you reach a certain level, and some of those guys do make it to the NFL, but they never really had to learn the craft the way Drew Brees was. And I've heard that some people think that having a truly special, like, generational arm talent can actually be a detriment to you.
Well, that was Mike's situation. He was so physically, I mean, when I got there, the guy didn't watch any film, and he's admitted this too. He's like, he'd go home and play Madden, and, you know, and then things fell apart, and, you know, ended up in prison. And when he came back, and ended up in Philly, like, he learned how to study. He learned how to get the best out of his ability, and I mean, was incredible those few years in Philadelphia at the end of his career. Yeah, there's for sure. I mean, the NFL is littered with guys who I'm trying to think of the best word, like, who never had to truly work, right? You know, everybody has to work to get to the NFL. But, like, your point, like, I'm trying to think of the best analogy.
It comes easy for him.
It did. Like, Roy Williams, wide receiver with me, and, you know, he was at Texas. I mean, I have never seen anybody with better hands than him. I kid you not. I mean, you give me anybody in the history of the NFL, and I will say, yeah, but I'd probably take Roy Williams in a catching contest. In pure hands, in pure ball skills, in pure, like, it was absolutely ungodly what this guy could do to a football that was coming at him in the air. But he never really worked on speed, explosiveness, route running, in and out of his cuts, right? Because nobody ever forced him to. Nobody ever challenged him. Nobody ever said, you know, you got to do this or you're not going to be on the field. Because if they didn't put him on the field early in his career, they'd be asinine. Like, they would be out of a job because the guy was that good. But then you get to a point, like you said, where you're literally up against the best people in the entire world and things kind of level out. He still had some great years and had some of the most incredible catches I have ever seen. But that is, you know, those guys, I don't want to say are a dime a dozen, but the ones who truly stand out are the ones that say, I may be the physically the best, but I still need to work like I'm not.
We're with Joey Harrington here for story time. And when we get back, we will discuss. We have uniform questions. Has Joey been consulted about a Generation O uniform yet? I'm guessing he has, but maybe he won't tell us. We'll find out next, courtesy of Mods PDX on The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, not much time left with Joey here, but we were talking uniforms the other day. Excuse me. And, you know, the Ducks are doing that Generation O uniform line where they release the, I forget what they call them, but the D'Anthony Thomas one.
Fly, whatever.
Yeah, fly up or something like that.
Something like that.
Did they contact you about doing a Generation O uniform?
No.
That's a yes.
You were involved.
No, actually no.
They haven't?
No, I was waiting for the releases just like everybody else. I was like, ooh, diamond plate with the wings. And
did you like
them? Yeah. The only ones that I didn't like, I didn't like the Kellen Clemens era, like, highlighter yellow with the, I didn't like those.
Those immediately followed yours, right?
Wasn't there one in between, like, kind of similar? For some reason, I think of Jason Fife as different than Kellen Clemens. I know they played, but like Kellen's senior year, maybe? I don't know. I can't think of one that I don't like, really. I'm not big on the yellow on yellow. That's never my favorite. But, you know, God, I still get... I'm nostalgic about the Rose Bowl ones with the chrome. First, we didn't play in the Rose Bowl. Second of all, we didn't have chrome. Thanks for reminding me. But no, the ones that D'Anthony, when they came out, the Rose Bowl against Russell Wilson in Wisconsin, that was just, oh my God, the green with the chrome, that might be the greatest, in my opinion, that might be the greatest uniform that they've had.
I'm taking no shots here, but the only ones that it's funny that I didn't like it when they started. I didn't like your guys's because I really liked the old stuff. The early 90s with the U and the O interlocked and the yellow and the green, what's now is the throwback. Like I always liked those. And then when they went to your guys' and the Kellen Clemens, that was one that I had a hard time getting on board with. And then it was that next generation after that, like maybe the diamond plated stuff where I thought they really started to hit it out of the park. I don't know why. I struggled with the change when you guys first started doing it.
I liked ours. I didn't like Kellen's. Kellen himself, wonderful person, great guy. Love him. Fantastic. Hey, Kellen, how are you? Didn't like your uniforms. Not going to lie.
What did you think of the of all that stuff, like, when you were in it? Because it was new at that time, but what did was it as innovative back then and as they talk about now?
You know what? It wasn't as big of a deal. I mean, it was a change for sure. But I think what's made it more of an issue now is the constant rotation every week, right? People forget that we still just had one home uniform and one away uniform, yeah, right? You know, we had our whites away and we had our, you know, dark greens at home, and that was it. The helmet was cool, you know, because it had that iridescent, like, mallard, you know, almost kind of turned purple. And, you know, how you, like, you look at the back of, like, a wet duck and it, like, it shimmers. It was really cool. But it wasn't like we were changing every week. It wasn't like, you know, chrome to yellow to black to, like, ooh, what's it going to be next week? You knew what it was going to be. It was going to be your dark greens at home. It was going to be your white on the road. Like, that's all it was. So there was the initial, like, hey, we're changing things. And then let's just go play. Now there's, like, the build-up, there's the reveal, there's the design, there's everything that goes into it. It's become a bigger deal now than it definitely was then.
Yeah, I can't. It's so funny, you know, how in your head it's just revisionist history. I was thinking that all the way even back then they were swapping out multiple jerseys.
No.
But they weren't.
No.
Oregon was the first
one. They were not.
Oregon was the first one to really do it. I struggle with it because I was part of that Nike, because Nike did this a lot. Like, at BYU, we went in a completely different direction. We changed.
You went to the ugly. You look like you were in a bib, like you're at the spaghetti factory and you're eating, like, tied on a bib.
And they changed our colors and they changed the Y. And I was so pissed. And they did it with a bunch of teams. Remember, Florida got some really weird ones there for a couple years. UW went to the god awful. Like, they got away from the gold and they went to, like, that weird mustard yellow color for a while there. That was, like, at the beginning when Oregon was just, or Nike was just starting to, like, experiment with some weird stuff. And I think it took a while and they came back around it. And most of the stuff they do now with the teams, I think, looks really good. But there was a weird 6 or 7 year period there where I hated Nike for what they did to me and some other people.
So this isn't uniforms, but you mentioned Nike and you know, hating what they're doing. It reminded me. So we threw Wilson footballs, right? Yeah. And when we got to my senior year, they said, hey, you know, Nike's really taken over, you know, we're going to, they started making balls, so we're going to switch to a Nike ball. And they threw it to me, and I grabbed it, and I put my hand, I was like, no, we're not throwing this. And he said, no, and coach's like, no, we have to get used to it and throw it. I was like, no, the laces are they're a half an inch short. And he's like, what are you talking about? The laces are the laces. I was like, no, they're not. And so we played a practice with it. And I went up to the equipment guy. I was like, Eddie, I'm not playing with this football. And he's like, no, you have to. I was like, put a tape measure on it. The laces are a half an inch short. And sure enough, they were a half an inch shorter than the Wilson laces. He was like, oh man, you're right. I was like, I know that I'm right. I've been doing this for, like, my hand is my hand. The football is a football. There are very few things that I know like that, but that is one of them. And so they switched. They actually changed the laces on the Nike footballs, which other teams had been playing the previous year. And so it reminded me, because BYU called over to the Ed Garland over at the equipment room and absolutely let him have it. He's like, what are you doing? You can't, we like the laces and you got to change the laces because you're a quarterback. And so they ended up going back and they flipped the laces back to the original ones that they had before. And they said, we'll just switch over next year when Kellen takes over. So we played the Wilson footballs my senior year because the laces didn't line up right.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. So your hand size, it just had to do with your specific hand size that you didn't like.
You liked it.
I just didn't like it. Yeah, there were two. Wilson made a 1005, which was a thinner football that Akili and AJ liked. I liked the 1001, which was built more like the NFL ball, which was fatter in the middle. And the Nike ball was fatter, but it was a little squattier. And so the laces were a touch shorter. I was like, nope, doesn't work. It's not right. So they waited until next year.
That weird transition. It's funny you bring up Wilson, because my Wilson story is when I got to BYU, we were a Wilson team. All our uniforms were made by Wilson, and then we became a Nike school. And I probably because we were just insignificant or we were cheap or whatever, but we just took the Wilson. Like it was, if you look, I'm sure you can find old photos of it, but they just took a crude like circle, like a Nike patch, and just cut a circle and then sewed it over the Wilson patch. And it didn't really match very well. You know what I mean? Like you could clearly tell, but all our uniforms for my first 2 years were Wilson pants, Wilson jerseys with a crude Nike swoosh sewn over the top. And I was like, what sort of janky athletic program do I have here? We can't even get Nike to make us unis, or at least like, I don't know, get a patch that lines up. Like the patch wasn't quite the color of our jersey. It was like we were in a bowl game and they just
careful
put a
what you wish for. You ask Nike to make a uniform and you end up with a spaghetti bib.
That is true. I got 2 years of the Wilson unis and then we went to those damn bibs.
Should have gone to UCLA.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's BYU.
And some people locally, the other twist of that, and I still get crap from it, I guess when we finally got rid of those hunks of crap, they sent them to Canby. Somehow there was some sort of connection, and Canby High School got them.
Oh, wow.
So the Canby...
Shout out to Canby Cougars.
Yeah, the Canby Cougars had to wear our bib uniforms for years after that. And every now and then I'll run into a Canby guy and be like, you son of a gun.
They're good enough for Canby. They're good enough for BYU.
That's right.
All right. Well, we must roll. Thank you. Glad you enjoyed
Thank
Bandit.
You.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back in the family again.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
See ya.
The great Joey Harrington right there.
As long as that Oregon State should have a special uniform just for Oregon that's like a Duck Hunter camo style.
Ooh, I like that.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
What?
If someone at Nike would come up with that, that's kind of a fun. Because, you know, Oregon did the one uni, and I actually think it kind of worked. It was weird, where they did the actual duck with, like, the orange duck feet and the face mask for the
bill. The fact that you were cosplaying the mascot with your uniform was a little weird, but it did look okay.
It was cool.
It kind of worked.
Okay.
It worked.
It did work.
I mean, I was an old curmudgeon back in the day, but most of the stuff that Oregon puts out, I think it looks really good. And Oregon State, if they were to roll out for this Civil War, which is so weird, obviously, at the start of the year, and they rolled out in a duck hunting camo uni, I mean, come on. Someone at Nike make that happen now.
Don't hate it.
No.
The two things, well, first of all, I looked up Joey's old uni that you were talking about. I'm with you.
Yeah, I didn't like them.
It went
into the Kellen ones. Both of those. I hated that era.
Well, the green in the Kellen ones was like it was almost like an army green. It wasn't like a true green. It was kind of weird.
And then the other one that I really disliked, and I think it was a little later than that, was the ones where they had the numbers that looked like it was duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were giant, and they almost looked like they were like rudimentary, like scratched. Yeah.
Like a digital alarm clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. But they've dialed in now.
Oh, dude.
Dude, they're and the Omica, the O on the back with the wing, like it's a sharp look. You can hate them all you want.
See, I don't
like prefer, can be bitter, but it's a good look.
I like the O's on the side. Like Joey's helmets, I thought were the best. The ones that actually mimicked the mallard head, and they were like I used to give tours in the facility. That paint costs like $4,000 a gallon because it had real gold in it. There's so many things from that they've tried to incorporate that I think the O on the back looks weird. I like the idea of the wings, but putting an O on the back looks like I don't know. I'm not for it.
It's unique. It's the only one of its kind.
They should have consulted Buck.
The kids love it. I'm old school. I like the first 95 Rose Bowls, and they do those now with the throwbacks. Still my favorite look.
I like what Oregon does. I really do. I think it looks great. But I also love what Penn State does, and I love what USC does.
There's room for the classic.
I like all
Bama and you know, Texas. There's some places that don't change.
Yeah.
And I do think it's cool that in this they resist the modern modern flair.
I don't like what Maryland does.
Ew,
how about that?
That thing's nightmarish.
They're crash test dummies.
Rules for flying this summer as we're all getting ready to travel. We'll get to that next in the club on The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, not much time left with Joey here, but we were talking uniforms the other day. Excuse me. And You know, the Ducks are doing that Generation O uniform line where they release the, I forget what they call them, but the D'Anthony Thomas one.
Fly whatever.
Yeah, fly up or something like
something
that.
Something like that.
Did they contact you about doing a Generation O uniform?
No.
That's a yes.
You were involved.
No. No, actually, no.
They haven't?
No, I was waiting for the releases just like everybody else. I was like, ooh, diamond plate with the wings. And
did you like them?
Yeah. The only ones that I didn't like, I didn't like the Kellen Clemens era, like, highlighter yellow with the, I didn't like those.
Those immediately followed yours, right?
Wasn't there one in between, like kind of similar? For some reason, I think of Jason Fife as different than Kellen Clemens. I know but like Kellen's senior year, maybe? I don't know. I can't think of one that I don't like, really. I'm not big on the yellow on yellow. That's never my favorite. But, you know, God, I get... I'm nostalgic about the Rose Bowl ones with the chrome. No. First, we didn't play in the Rose Bowl. Second of all, we didn't have chrome. Thanks for reminding me. But the ones that D'Anthony, when they came out, the Rose Bowl against Russell Wilson in Wisconsin, that was just, oh my God, the green with the chrome, that might be the greatest, in my opinion, that might be the greatest uniform that they've had.
I'm taking no shots here, but the only ones that it's funny that I didn't like it when they started. I didn't like your guys's because I really liked the old stuff. The early 90s with the U and the O interlocked and the yellow and the green, what's now is the throwback. Like I always liked those. And then when they went to your guys' and the Kellen Clemens, that was one that I had a hard time getting on board with. And then it was that next generation after that, like maybe the diamond plated stuff where I thought they really started to hit it out of the park. I don't know why. I struggled with the change when you guys first started doing it.
I liked ours. I didn't like Kellen's. Kellen himself, wonderful person, great guy, love him, fantastic. Hey, Kellen, how are you? Didn't like your uniforms. Not gonna lie.
What did you think of all that stuff? Like when you were in it, because it was new at that time. But was it as innovative back then and as they talk about now?
You know what? It wasn't as big of a deal. I mean, it was a change for sure. But I think what's made it more of an issue now is the constant rotation every week, right? People forget that we still just had one home uniform and one away uniform, right? You know, we had our whites away and we had our, you know, dark greens at home, and that was it. The helmet was cool, you know, because it had that iridescent, like, mallard, you know, almost kind of turned purple. And, you know, how you, like, you look at the back of, like, a wet duck and it, like, it shimmers. It was really cool. But it wasn't like we were changing every week. It wasn't like, you know, chrome to yellow to black to, like, ooh, what's it going to be next week? You knew what it was going to be. It was going to be your dark greens at home. It was going to be your white on the road. Like, that's all it was. So there was the initial, like, hey, we're changing things. And then let's just go play. Now there's like the buildup, there's the reveal, there's the design, there's everything that goes into it. It's become a bigger deal now than it definitely was then.
Yeah, I can't. It's so funny, you know, how in your head it's just revisionist history. I was thinking that all the way even back then they were swapping out multiple jerseys.
No.
But they weren't.
No.
Oregon was the first one.
They were not.
Oregon was the first one to really do it. I struggle with it because I was part of that. Nike, because Nike did this a lot. Like at BYU, we went in a completely different direction. We changed.
You went to the ugly. You look like you were in a bib, like you're the spaghetti factory, and you're eating you tied on a bib.
And they changed our colors, and they changed the Y. And I was so pissed. And they did it with a bunch of teams. Remember, Florida got some really weird ones there for a couple years. UW went to the god awful. Like they got away from the gold and they went to like that weird mustard yellow color for a while there. That was like at the beginning when Oregon was just, or Nike was just starting to like experiment with some weird stuff. And I think it took a while and they came back around it. And most of the stuff they do now with the teams, I think looks really good, but there was a weird 6 or 7 year period there where I hated Nike for what they did to me and some other people.
So this isn't uniforms, but you mentioned Nike and you know, hating what they're doing. It reminded me. So we threw Wilson footballs, right? Yeah. And when we got to my senior year, they said, hey, you know, Nike's really taken over, you know, they started making balls, so we're going to switch to a Nike ball. And they threw it to me, and I grabbed it, and I put my hand, I was like, no, we're not throwing this. And he said, no, and coach's like, no, we have to get used to it and throw it. I was like, no, the laces are, they're a half an inch short. And he's like, what are you talking about? The laces are the laces. I was like, no, they're not. And so we played a practice with it. And I went up to the equipment guy. I was like, Eddie, I'm not playing with this football. And he's like, no, you have to. I was like, put a tape measure on it. The laces are a half an inch short. And sure enough, they were a half an inch shorter than the Wilson laces. He was like, oh man, you're right. I was like, I know that I'm right. I've been doing this for, like, my hand is my hand. The football is a football. There are very few things that I know like that, but that is one of them. And so they switched, they actually changed the laces on the Nike footballs, which other teams had been playing the previous year. And so it reminded me, because BYU called over to Ed Garland over at the equipment room and absolutely let him have it. He's like, what are you doing? You can't, we like the laces, and you got to change the laces because you're a quarterback. And so they ended up going back, and they flipped the laces back to the original ones that they had before. And they said, we'll just switch over next year when Kellen takes over. So we played, awesome. So we played the Wilson footballs my senior year because the laces didn't line up right.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. So your hand size, it just had to do with your specific hand size that you didn't like.
You liked it.
I just didn't like it. Yeah, there were two. Wilson made a 1005, which was a skinny, a thinner football that Akili and AJ liked. I liked the 1001, which was built more like the NFL ball, which was fatter in the middle. And the Nike ball was fatter, but it was a little squattier. And so the laces were a touch shorter. I was like, nope, doesn't work. It's not right. So they waited until next year.
That weird transition. It's funny you bring up Wilson, because my Wilson story is, when I got to BYU, we were a Wilson team. All our uniforms were made by Wilson, and then we became a Nike school. And I probably, because we were just insignificant or we were cheap or whatever, but we just took the Wilson. Like, it was, if you look, I'm sure you can find old photos of it, but they just took a crude, like, circle, like a Nike patch, and just cut a circle and then sewed it over the Wilson patch. And it didn't really match very well. You know what I mean? Like, you could clearly tell. But all our uniforms for my first 2 years were Wilson pants, Wilson jerseys with a crude Nike swoosh sewn over the top. And I was like, what sort of janky athletic program do I have here? We can't even get Nike to make us unis, or at least, like, I don't know, get a patch that lines up. Like, the patch wasn't quite the color of our jersey. It was like we were in a bowl game, and they just
careful
put
what you wish for. You ask Nike to make a uniform, and you end up with a spaghetti bib.
That is true. I got 2 years of the Wilson unis, and then we went to those damn bibs.
Should have gone to UCLA.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's BYU.
And some people locally, the other twist of that, and I still get crap from it, I guess when we finally got rid of those hunks of crap, they sent them to Cambie. Somehow there was some sort of connection, and Cambie High School got them.
Oh, wow.
So the Cambie...
Not the Cambie Cougars.
Yeah, the Cambie Cougars had to wear our bib uniforms for years after that. And every now and then I'll run into a Cambie guy and be like, you son of a gun.
They're good enough for Cambie. They're good enough for BYU.
That's right.
All right. Well, we must roll. Thank you. Glad you enjoyed
Thank
Bandit.
You.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back in the family again.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
See ya.
The great Joey Harrington right there.
As long as that Oregon State should have a special uniform just for Oregon that's like a Duck Hunter camo style.
Ooh, I like that.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
What?
If someone at Nike would come up with that, that's kind of a fun. Because, you know, Oregon did the one uni, and I actually think it kind of worked. It was weird, where they did the actual duck with, like, the orange duck feet and the face mask.
The
for the
fact
bill.
That you were cosplaying the mascot with your uniform was a little weird, but it did look okay.
It was cool.
It kind of looked okay. Yeah.
It worked.
It did work.
I mean, I was an old curmudgeon back in the day, but most of the stuff that Oregon puts out, I think it looks really good. And Oregon State, if they were to roll out for this Civil War, which is so weird, obviously, at the start of the year, and they rolled out in a duck hunting camo uni, I mean, come on. Someone at Nike make that happen now.
Don't hate it.
No.
The two things, well, first of all, I looked up Joey's old uni that you were talking about. With you.
Yeah, I didn't like them.
That's ugly.
Not great. Into the Kellen ones, both of those. I hated that era.
Well, the green and the Kellen ones was like a, it was almost like an army green. It wasn't like a true green. It was kind of weird.
And then the other one that I really disliked, and it was, I think it was a little later than that, was the ones where they had the numbers that looked like it was duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were giant, and they were, it was, they were almost looked like they were like rudimentary, like scratched. Yeah.
Like a digital alarm clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. But they've dialed in now.
Oh, dude.
Dude, they're, and the Omica, the O on the back with the wing, like it's a sharp look. You can hate them all you want.
See, I don't
like,
prefer
be bitter, but it's a good look.
I like the O's on the side. Like Joey's helmets, I thought were the best. The ones that actually mimicked the mallard head, and they were like, I used to give tours in the facility. That paint costs like $4,000 a gallon because it had real gold in it. There's so many things from that they've tried to incorporate that I think the O on the back looks weird. I like the idea of the wings, but putting an O on the back looks like, I don't know. I'm not for it.
It's unique. It's the only one of its kind.
They should have consulted Buck.
The kids love it. I'm all old school. I like the 95 Rose Bowls, and they do those now with the throwbacks. Still my favorite look.
I like what Oregon does. I really do. I think it looks great. But I also love what Penn State does, and I love what USC does.
There's room for the classic.
I like all
Bama
of that.
And you know, Texas. There's some places that don't change.
Yeah.
And I do think it's cool that in this they resist the modern modern flair.
I don't like what Maryland does. How about that?
That thing's nightmarish.
They're crash test dummies.
Rules for flying this summer as we're all getting ready to travel. We'll get to that next in the club on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.